Good evening. You're listening to The Graveyard Shift. I am your host, Renfield Wilson, here to guide you through our program tonight. But I must warn you that these stories are very frightening. So tuck the kids into bed, lock the doors, and pull the covers over your head. We have three chilling tales guaranteed to make you jump out of your skin.
The Little Black Dog, read by Brian Mazur. Billy Mansfield said that a little black dog followed him wherever he went, but he was the only one who saw it, so people thought he was kind of crazy. To drive the dog away, Billy was always hollering at it, throwing rocks at it. But the dog always came back. The first time Billy saw that dog was the day he fought Silas Burton. Billy was just a young man then, but the Burtons and Billy's family had been feuding for years. When Billy saw Silas riding toward him, he went for his gun, and Burton went for his. But Billy fired first. He hit Burton in the back, knocking him from his horse. Burton's horse ran off, and his gun fell where he couldn't reach it. He lay there on the ground, pleading with Billy not to kill him. But Billy killed him anyway. Burton's little black dog was with him when he was shot. The dog kept licking Burton's face and barking and snarling at Billy. In his anger, Billy killed the dog too. There wasn't much law enforcement in those days, so Billy wasn't arrested. But all that night, he heard Burton's dog outside his cabin, scratching on his door and barking to be let in. "I'm imagining this," Billy said to himself. "I shot that dog. It's dead." But the next morning, Billy saw the dog. It was waiting for him outside. From then on, there was not a day when he didn't see it, and there wasn't a night when he didn't hear it scratching on his door, barking to be let in. From then on, Billy was always finding black dog hairs on the sofa, on the floor, in his bed, even in his food. And the house and the yard stank of dog. That's what Billy said. Whenever somebody told him that there wasn't any dog to see, he'd say, "Well, maybe you don't see it, but I do. And I'm not any crazier than you are." Things went on like that for many years. Then one morning, in the middle of winter, the neighbors didn't see any smoke coming out of Billy's chimney. When they went over to check, Billy wasn't there. They found his body lying in the snow in a field back of his cabin. Billy had plenty of enemies, and at first it seemed like somebody might have killed him. But there wasn't a mark on his body, and there weren't any footprints out there, except for Billy's. The doctor said Billy probably died of old age. But there was something odd about his death. When the neighbors found Billy, there were black dog hairs on his clothes. There were even a few on his face. It smelled like a dog had been out there. Yet, no one had seen a dog anywhere.
This is Andrea Boer, assistant to the head of school at St. Andrew's Sewanee School. I'll be reading The Window. Margaret and her brothers, Paul and David, shared a small house on top of a hill just outside the village. It was so warm one summer night that Margaret could not sleep. She sat up in bed in the darkness of her room, watching the moon move across the sky. Suddenly, something caught her eye. She saw two small yellow-green lights moving through the woods near the graveyard at the bottom of the hill. They looked like the eyes of some animal, but she couldn't make out what the creature was. Soon, the creature left the woods and moved up the hill towards the house. For a few minutes, Margaret lost sight of it. Then she saw it coming across the lawn towards her window. It looked something like a man, and yet it didn't. Margaret was terrified. She wanted to run from her room, but the door was next to the window. She was afraid the creature could see her and break in before she could escape. When the creature turned and moved in another direction, Margaret rushed to the door. But before she could open the door, it was back. Margaret found herself staring through the window at a shrunken face like that of a mummy. Its yellow-green eyes gleamed like a cat's eyes. She wanted to scream, but she was so frightened that she couldn't make a sound. The creature broke the window glass, unlocked the window, and crawled inside. Margaret tried to flee, but the creature caught her. It twisted its long, bony fingers into her hair, pulled her back her head, and sank its teeth into her throat. Margaret screamed and fainted. When her brothers heard her piercing scream, they rushed to her room. But by the time they got the door unlocked, the creature had fled. Margaret lay on the floor, bleeding and unconscious. While Paul tried to stop the bleeding, David chased the creature down the hill towards the graveyard, but soon he lost sight of it. The police thought it was the work of an escaped lunatic who believed he was a vampire. When Margaret recovered, her brothers wanted to move to a safer place where it would be harder to break in, but Margaret refused. The creature would never come back. She was sure of that. But just in case, Paul and David began to keep loaded pistols in their rooms. One night, months later, Margaret was awakened by the scratching sound at the window. When she opened her eyes, there was the same shrunken face staring in at her. That night, her brothers heard her cries in time. They chased the creature down the hill, and David shot it in the leg. But the creature managed to scramble over the graveyard wall and disappear near an old burial vault. The next day, Margaret and her brothers watched as the sexton of the church opened the burial vault. Inside was a horrifying scene. Broken coffins, bones, and rotting flesh were scattered all over the floor. Only one coffin had not been disturbed. When the sexton opened it, there lay the creature with the shrunken face that had attacked Margaret. The telltale bullet was in the leg. They did the only thing they knew to rid themselves of a vampire. The sexton built a roaring blaze outside the vault and fed the shrunken body to the flames. They watched the body burn until nothing remained but ashes.
I'm Carl Scholin, head of school at St. Andrew Sewanee School, and you're listening to The Bad News. Leon and Todd loved baseball. When they were young, they had played on the town's baseball team. Leon had been the pitcher and Todd had played second base. And now that they were a lot older, they spent their free time watching baseball games on TV and talking about baseball. "You think they play baseball in heaven?" Leon asked Todd one day. "That's a good question," said Todd. "The one who gets there first should let the other one know somehow." As it turned out, Todd got to heaven first, and Leon waited patiently to hear from him. One day, Leon found Todd sitting in the living room waiting for him. Leon was very excited to see him. "What's it like up there?" he asked. "And what about baseball?" "When it comes to baseball," said Todd, "I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is that we do play baseball in heaven. We have some fine teams. I play second base on my team, just like I used to in the old days. And that's the good news." "Well, what's the bad news?" asked Leon. "Oh, the bad news," said Todd, "you're scheduled to pitch tomorrow."
You've been listening to The Graveyard Shift, and I'm your host, Renfield Wilson. Tune in next week for more frightening tales to rattle your bones, right here on WMTN, the scary voice of the mountain.
This show has been generously underwritten by Friends of the Community Action Committee. The CAC is an ecumenical outreach group devoted to assistance of persons in crisis, services related to basic human needs, and is committed to identifying ways to break the cycle of poverty in our community. For more information, contact them at www.stmarkandstpaul.com.